Hello and welcome to How to Be a Better DM. This is Tanner Wayland, and together we're going to learn about how to prepare the best adventures environments for our players to enjoy. It's going to be a great time. I'm recording this the day after the 4th of July, which if you're in the US, that's a holiday that we kind of celebrate the birth of our nation in many ways, but it kind of got me thinking about politics in D&D. And that's our topic today. Not necessarily how politics among the players can, change the environment, because that would be a messy topic, and I don't intend to touch that with a 40-foot pole, But rather, what about when your characters are involved in a political themed campaign? Now, what could this look like? It could be as simple as like, hey, you need to bring Princess A over to country B so that she can get married to Prince C, right? And that could be political where, oh, there's a bunch of behind-the-scenes powers trying to sabotage your route there, right? But I think that it could even go further than that. A lot of times, especially if you're doing more of a frontier-style campaign where your players are based out of a town, there's many pre-written, one-shots or campaigns where, there's a town with a mayor in it, and maybe your players are like, hey, that mayor sucks. I want to run for mayor. That is a wonderful opportunity to start a political campaign. And I'm going to give you some thoughts to think about when you kind of approach this, because it's a very different style of campaign, right? Whether you're running a full-blown election style, tete-a-tete with a political opposing faction, or oftentimes you'll see this, you'll see where the players are trying to get something and they kind of have to do the walk and talk with a bunch of nobles in a banquet or a ball, right? All of these things can be political. They can kind of introduce a different element of play other than, hey, you're just trying to just straight up persuade or intimidate or use your skills to magic or fight your way out of, of a bind, because politics is a very different beast. And I think a lot of DMs, and I've certainly fallen prey to this, I will just go in being like, I won't really touch on the political machinations that the players could indulge in. Or I won't really encourage them to kind of get political or suave or very like, or to kind of play the game, quote unquote, with these noble or powerful NPCs. And I think that that's missing because, we always talk about, when you're doing a one shot or a campaign to have a good balance of combat, of role playing, of exploration. And that's all super important, but I also think just saying role playing is one type of thing is keeping it too simple. And a political scenario opens up a whole nother chapter for your players to explore. So let's say that you have this idea. For this kind of episode, the idea that we're going to go off of is that simple idea I had before. You are in a town. The mayor and his cronies are kind of corrupt, and your party's like, you know what? Instead of just busting in there and just killing them all, we're going to, there's an election happening. Let's run against that, right? Now, in a situation like that, you're going to want, and this is my first tip, you're going to want a session zero. Now, I'm saying you want a session zero, even if this is happening within a longer running campaign. Why? Because, frankly, you have to prep your characters, right? Think about it in the way that an actual political campaign or a political arc would happen. You don't just jump in. You have to prepare and you have to be aware of the rules and kind of the framework. And that's true also for your party, right? If you're going to get into that, you want to first be sure that your players are down for that kind of adventure. Because I know some players, that I play with right now who are so, they would love this. They would eat it up, and I intend to use it in the near future. some of them would be like, oh my goodness, I can plan a campaign rally. I can plan how to sabotage the other, the other noble who's running against me at the ball by, you know, outdancing them or, you know, having some witty back and forth between them. That sounds like a great time. I have players like that. There's going to be other players who are like, can I just like fight? And, you know, it's not going to be for everyone. Now, you can help some of those players who are kind of on the fence and be like, you know what, I'm going to make it so fun. I'm going to make it easy. Not too easy, but, you know, I'm going to set you up for success and for a good time. And you can show that in how well you prep them and are accepting to their ideas during this session zero for this new political arc, right? And so during that session zero, you're going to want to set expectations, right? Like, hey, what's the size of this, right? Like, how long do you want this to go on? Like, this arc, how many sessions? Okay, that kind of will constrain what you can do. Because if you're like, hey, we're going to run a full-blown campaign against the political person in power or, you know, in support of someone else, if you plan on doing that, you have to realize that that takes time and you want the players to be on board for however long that could take. Second, you're going to want to let them know, you know, hey, what are the stakes here and who are they facing and what kind of support would they need to get, right? Because one of the best things about a political campaign is that you can really play up supporters and, you know, benefactors, kind of like crowdfunding or for a campaign. You need to kind of give the players essentially the people to know, right? You want to be like, hey, this is so-and-so, and he owns the local salt, mine. I'm realizing salt probably doesn't come out of mines mostly. It comes out of lakes and riverbeds and such. But regardless, you want to give them the political players. And my warning would be, make sure that you have, for this, you have a lot of neutral powers so that your NPCs feel like they can reach out. And it's they're not necessarily a known factor. Like your PCs know why that NPC is worth contacting. You know, it's like, oh, he owns this and this. And he runs every inn or tavern, you know, for miles around. If you can kind of give them that info, but not let them know where they sit in regard to their willingness to support your players, then you give them a lot of places or avenues to explore. Second, you want to let your players know, especially if this is a new arc or a new campaign where you're letting your players create completely new characters, you're going to want to let them know which kind of skills they could want, and maybe even have them kind of divvy up the jobs based on, you know, what would you need in politics, right? Not everyone is going to need to be a master of persuasion, frankly, and that would make for kind of a little bit of a lackluster party build or composition. You know, some people are going to be the bruisers who are protecting everyone. Some people are going to be the muscle that's going out and causing chaos at the opponent's rally or at the opponent's factories or whatever, right? You're going to want to have a multifaceted view of this and be like, hey, you guys need to figure out what you want to do, but you don't all need to be the same. And finally, kind of going along with just keeping the players informed, I would really recommend you shouldn't label the NPC this, or rather you don't need to, but have a campaign manager, quote unquote, who he's an NPC that knows a lot of stuff that as the players bounce ideas off, they, you know, it can essentially be your stand-in so that so it doesn't break immersion, right? And so that there's a source of knowledge that you can always turn to if the players just are missing a key piece of info that would help them get kind of on track. Now, in terms of once you've kind of set the expectations, found out what they hope for, what you're going to want to do is when you're creating the campaign itself, you want to kind of think in terms of call and response. You know, like you'll have that in certain, you know, songs and stuff. Think about that in terms of player action. So the call would be like, hey, one party acts, and the response is how they respond like to that. That's a lot of what politics is, right? It's one person having like a campaign slogan that the other person reacts to. Or one person's like, hey, I'm doing this charity thing and everybody's into it. And then someone else either sabotages that or they have their own charity thing that they try and be like, hey, look at that person looking at caring about the homeless when they should be caring about, you know, this other big deal, right? It's kind of like that call and response. And throughout that, try and create situations where the players and, well, the characters have to have public decorum, right? Where, like, if they're doing anything, they've got to do it on the sly so that no one knows that, you know, there's actual, like, violence and illegality happening behind the scene. But you're going to want to make a lot of stages for this to happen publicly, right?
Justin here from How to Be a Better DM. We are weeks away from releasing our new actual play D&D show. It's going to be called Pact and Boon, and we're really excited about it. I wanted to take a second today to introduce the character that I'm going to be playing in the show, Jolland Gray. Jolland is a 6-foot-tall Earth Genasi, and he has tan skin that is almost the color of Red Canyon rock. He has black onyx eyes and a scar that runs from right above his left eye to right below his left eye. He has a large chestnut-colored beard and hair, and he's actually balding on the top of his head. He has a bit of a paunch. He's a bit portly. He's always smiling, which is why most people actually call him Jolly. At any given moment, you can expect Jolly to be wearing luxurious clothing because he was a very successful businessman and he loves the luxuries of society. When he's traveling as an adventurer, though, he wears as much armor as he can. You see, Jolly is an artificer, specifically an armorer. Jolly used to run and own a very successful tavern before it burned down, and because of that, he's very good at brewing alcohol and is actually somewhat of a connoisseur. Jolly hails from the town of Okrendel in Northern Gast, which is the northernmost country on the continent of Rel in the world of Kalignos. Jolly is a happy-go-lucky person, and really, the only thing motivating him right now is revenge. If you want to find out why Jolly wants revenge so badly, and for what, go to sessionzerostudios.com/pactnboon, that's PactnBoon, and put in your name and email so you can get notified when Pact and Boon is released.
And, you know, a classic one that I love is, you know, the local ball, because I think that DMs have a hard time approaching this specifically because NPCs are hard enough, right? When you're having to control, like when you're having to voice two different NPCs and keep them straight within like a, even just like one session, sometimes you're like, oof, I was hoping that we didn't have too much talking going on. But a ball, that's like, oh my goodness. A ball or a banquet or kind of a fancier setting, that kind of stuff, it becomes a lot for the DM to handle and to keep straight all of the different parties and players, right? Now you can. And I would argue that if you've done the session zero, you don't need to, you know, come up with every single, like with a billion new NPCs or nobility for the players to talk with. Rather, you just need to make a space where everybody that was on that list of like six nobles who are kind of neutral and you need to get to your side, or at least not, you know, just PO them too much, right? Just have them all be in one place, be in that ball, and have it kind of be, and this is something that I think would be very fun. for you is kind of treat persuasion as a track, right? Whether it's like, hey, you're helping out the nobility in different ways, right? You went and you helped muck out their stables, which, you know, that's a skill check just to see how well you did that. And then, okay, their positivity went up one or down one. And also, like, if they're at the ball, you know, they can kind of negotiate these different things that they need to do for the nobility. They can also have these conversations that themselves can move them up and down the track. Or if you have a different, if you have a shorter political campaign, then, you know, it could be fun to also be like, hey, if you screwed up your relationship with Count Hegemon over there, then, you know, that's a burnt bridge, and that's fun in its own right, right? Because Count Hegemon, he goes over to the opponent, and suddenly later on, when you're trying to do a big endeavor, you know, you're sneaking around trying to get something done, or you're trying to, you know, support a different noble, then suddenly that Count Hegemon's goons come out, and you're like, what the heck? What are they doing helping the bad guy? And that kind of becomes a fun thing. You know, we've talked about embracing failure as something that makes the campaign more interesting versus just a straight up wall that your players can't cross. Think about political campaigns and influencing influential NPCs in a similar way, where, you know, if something doesn't work out, have it become like kind of add a bit of a nasty flavor to the campaign or a stumbling block that makes it more interesting, but still pushes the story forward. And finally, one thing that I think is very important is whenever you're doing any kind of D&D campaign, have you noticed how players can get off track very easily? They can see an NPC who, you know, you just tried to add a little bit of flavor to and be like, oh, they're having a hard time. And suddenly you have to come up with a whole backstory and a whole, you know, side quest about that NPC because one of your players was a little bit too much of a goody two shoes, right? It's same for this political campaign idea. If you're going to do it, have your players create concise goals and objectives. Be like, okay, what do you want to do, and what steps do you need to find out? And you can use that quote unquote campaign manager NPC to influence that and keep it within bounds and also make it fun and unique kind of settings, right? You could be like, hey, what do you want to do? Oh, you want to protect the town who is currently overrun by a bunch of gangs who just have kind of taken over or rather corrupted the officials, and the town's just in a bad way because the gangs have a lot of power. You know, okay, so what's your objective? To clean up the city, you know, to remove the corruption. Okay, in order to do that, what do you need to do? First off, you need to get a new leader in place, and you wouldn't necessarily give all these suggestions, right? You try and get the players to come up with goals and objectives on their own, because that always is more motivating. But they could be like, oh, we want to get a different leader, which could be one of them. We want to take out the bosses of the major, like, two gangs, and we want to rally the people together or something, right?
Do you love these podcast episodes but aren't always able to listen to them? Do you learn better reading information rather than listening to it? Here's what you can do. Go to sessionzerostudios.com/newsletter, sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get tips and tricks sent directly to your inbox in written format that you can read and reference whenever you want. You'll get tips that we don't share on the podcast and bonus techniques that, frankly, no one has ever heard before. Again, sessionzerostudios.com/newsletter and get those free tips and techniques right to your inbox every week.
So long as they have those different... the main objective and then the sub objectives, then you're cooking with grease, right? Then you can get going with creating different sessions that will answer those different things. And then you can like weave in different political trip ups or opportunities, such as, you know, persuasion checks, intimidation, them having to go support a local supporter who is having a hard time. Whatever it is, if they have a main objective, then you can get it done in a timely manner. It won't get too crazy, and the players can enjoy a really fun offshoot of a political campaign without it becoming just, you know, too long and drawn out, and no one likes that. So what I'd really recommend is kind of like homework for you. If your players end up in a city sometime soon, just think about, you know, how you can go about making the role-playing more than just simple role-playing. Think about how to make it into an opportunity for a whole new avenue, right? It could be as a business owner, which I think will be a separate discussion, but if you're going to be on theme with this episode, try making a political campaign arc. I think that you and your players would have a lot of fun. Of course, talk with them, bounce ideas off of each other to what would sound fun to them, and then create it. And I think it'd be really cool. And as a final tip here, make sure that even though, you know, I'm talking a lot about a D&D campaign that's like political and it's like, oh, you're trying to get a new leader or sway the vote or something. That's all super normal stuff that can be stressful. This is probably how I would put it. You know, it's very stressful thinking about the normal world, and politics is not a simple subject nowadays. I think that's not a surprise. So throughout this, I'd really recommend that you don't just make it a normal political situation. Add some fantasy to it, right? Remember that they're playing D&D for a reason. If it is a political campaign, don't just make it a gang, right? Make it a gang that has a magical spell that they're brewing that would enslave the town, right? Or make it a gang that, you know, they go into somewhere and then they disappear as if they have some kind of magic, and your players go in and, you know, the local people don't know magic, but you have a wizard or a druid or whatever. You know, just infuse magic into the situation, right? That way you can have so much going on, right? It could be, there's just so many opportunities to make a normal situation, like a political campaign, into something just magical and yet different from what they normally get during a D&D campaign. So go out, make the best of your campaign by adding some new political flavor to it. And until next time, let's roll initiative.